Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Take your Bibles and open them to 1 Peter chapter 2. We're studying verse by verse through the book of 1 Peter. And our title is The Journey of Hope. That's your first blank in our review. In verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us." That's the born again verbiage that's used in this passage. "He has begotten us again to a living hope." The journey of hope. And as we study this book of the Bible, we realize that we are pilgrims and sojourners. We're just passing through. We've been learning about the fact that along the way, there are ways that we are supposed to live. Our conduct and our character is very, very important. And today, we're going to talk about our witness to the world along the way. We were just singing, "Every praise is to our God." Boy, I love that song. I tell you, We may get raptured in here one day when that song's going on. But anyway, that was exciting. You know, I was thinking, every praise is to our God. But the reason that we're still here on this planet, Christian, believer, is because every praise to our God is not being sung in other places, in all places of the world. The reason that we're left on this planet is to get the gospel to other people, and our witness in the world, even in the midst of difficulty. These people were under serious persecution. The Roman government was bearing down upon them, and they were being persecuted, and this book was written to those that were believers in five different regions, and how in the world are they supposed to deal with the persecution they're in? Can I tell you this? I haven't preached through all the books of the Bible, but I preached through many of them. This is one of the most difficult books I have ever studied. And I'm just telling you because there's a lot about persecution and suffering in here. And we have to apply that in our lives. And sometimes in our country, we don't see that like others are seeing that around the world. We're certainly not seeing it the way these believers that received this message, the way they were having to live. And so we draw conclusions and principles to live by. But the bottom line is that we are a witness to the world by the way we live, even when we go through difficult times. But let's do the big picture real quick. The big picture. The journey of hope, all right? Then the second one, holiness along the way. In other words, this is what we've studied already as we've gone verse by verse. We are to have holiness along the way. The scripture says, "Gird up the loins of your mind," and it says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." And then the next one, reverence and love along the way. How are you to live as a sojourner in this life? You're a citizen of heaven. You're a believer in Jesus Christ. You're to have reverence for the Lord because we have not been purchased with money. We have been purchased with incorruptible things like the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have an inheritance that is incorruptible. So we are to be reverent. And then we are to love one another with a pure heart. And then nourishment along the way. You know, if we're going to make it, we've got to have nourishment. And so chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 says, "As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word." We have to get in the Word of God every day, ladies and gentlemen, in order to have the nourishment we need in order to make it in this life. And then we talked about unity with one another along the way. As a church family, unity with one another. And there was three examples that we had. We're stones in a building, we're priests in a temple, and we're citizens of a nation. And so today we come to verses 11 through 25 of chapter 2. And we are to be a witness to the world along the way. Now, there's some areas that we demonstrate that. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been burned? Have you ever felt like your lot in life was maybe not as easy as it should have been? Think about David in the Old Testament. He slayed Goliath, and then he ended up running for his life from Saul. He didn't deserve that, and yet there was jealousy in Saul, and David of the Old Testament had to run for his life as a result of him obeying the Lord and slaying Goliath. You remember the people saying, Saul has slain his thousands, David has slain his 10,000s. And so therefore, boy, Saul got jealous, and so David was on the run. Think about Joseph. Joseph sold into slavery in Egypt, and he was mistreated. He was not understood, and as a result, he ended up in prison. He didn't deserve that, but he ended up. Let me ask you a question, folks. How do you respond when you are in a circumstance you didn't deserve? You're in a circumstance and somebody has been after you. This is what we're talking about. These believers that Peter was writing to, they were under pressure. They didn't deserve it. They were being persecuted. I think about Joseph. I think about Esau. Jacob took his birthright. Esau gave Jacob his birthright just for a bowl of soup. I think about Job. Think about Job. His servants were killed. His 10 children were killed. 10 fresh graves. And yet, Job was under the authority of God. You know, when we feel mistreated, Chuck Swindoll says this, we react in one of three ways. I thought it was interesting. We either become aggressive and bitter. When we feel like we have been given a slighted hand, somebody's done something wrong to us, then we can become aggressive. We become hostile. One guy, the doctor, he went in to see the doctor, and the doctor said, well, I'm sorry to tell you, you do have rabies. And the man started writing feverishly, and the doctor thought, man, he's writing out his will. And he said, sir, it doesn't mean you're going to die. He says, oh, I know I'm not going to die. I'm just writing down all the names of the people I'm going to bite. Some people are just aggressive. They're just aggressive, and the reason that they're aggressive because somehow they feel slighted, and so they're going to do everything they can do, take every opportunity they can take to bite you. Some people are passive when they're mistreated. They feel sorry for themselves. Some people are just in a holding pattern. They deny the feeling. They know there's things in there. They deny it, and yet you know, and I know, that it's going to eventually surface. How do you handle being mistreated? How do you handle persecution? What is our witness to the world along the way as a sojourner? All right, look at chapter 2, verse 11. Beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Abstain, to hold yourself constantly back from. Fleshly lusts are cravings. These war against the soul. In other words, when he says they war against the soul, they carry out a military campaign against your life. If you give in to these cravings, they will carry out a military campaign against your soul. And then it says we are to abstain from that. Verse 12, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. In other words, your conduct is to be honorable. An outer goodness, I love this, having your conduct honorable, circle that word honorable. That means a conduct, a goodness, I love this, that strikes the eye. Ladies and gentlemen, you as a believer in Christ, even when you're mistreated, even when you go through difficulty, even when you are persecuted because you are a believer, you can live in such a way that strikes the eye of the unbelieving world to know there's something special, there's something different about you. And that's exactly what Peter was trying to say to the people. He says that you will have you will be honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you, when they bring up their case against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. In other words, on the day that God visits them with mercy, this phrase, the day of visitation, some hold it to be a day of judgment, and that may be in the part of the meaning of it. But most believe that when it uses this word, the day of visitation, that is the day you are visited with mercy. Because when a person comes to know Christ, they think about you because of the way you lived your life, because you conducted yourself honorably, even when mistreated, on the day that mercy comes to that lost person, that non-believer, they glorify God because they saw your honorable conduct. So, we see in verses 11 and 12 the overarching principle of what we are to do. We are to conduct ourselves with outer goodness that strikes the eye. Now, there are three things I want you to highlight here with me as we go through this passage. Number one, we are to witness to the world along the way as citizens. Isn't it interesting? Verses 13 through 17 deal with the government and they deal with law. Look at verse 13. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. And then he gives this great summary of how we are to relate to one another. Verse 17, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. We are to live in front of the world as citizens in an honorable way. We are to obey authorities. The word submit there means to obey. Now listen, we want to get out from under authority. And sometimes, even as Christians, we think we don't have to submit ourselves to those that are in authority to us because we're Christians. Well, listen, do you realize that by your conduct as one under authority, you are a witness to those that are unbelieving? I've seen it in youth ministry all my life with young people that said, man, I cannot wait to turn 18. I'm leaving this house. I'm getting away from all these crazy rules. And then they go join the Marines. Happens every time. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something I learned. And I've said this to my children, and I've said it to young people my whole life, and I'll say it to you. Everyone is under authority. Everyone has authority. We think that freedom is getting out from under authority, but freedom, listen, is being comfortable under God-given authority. It's a freeing thing when you're comfortable under authority. And let me tell you, these believers that Peter was writing to, boy, they were under some pressure as citizens. And so it says in verse 14. Well, let me go back to 13. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Why do we do this? For the Lord's sake. For our gospel witness. Whether to the king as supreme. Now, we don't have a king. We have a president whom should be respected. We should respect him. Now, we live in a type government where we have our voice and we vote at the ballot box and we get the privilege of choosing the one who will lead us, and we should exercise that right with passion and diligence. But at the same time, those that are in authority over us in that way, we should respect that position. Or to governors, and he gives a little illustration about governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. Now look, I know that there are those that are in authority like that, that there are some that are not doing it correctly. I just got a little tweet here on this deal here. I'm learning how to work this, but I don't know how to turn stuff off. So, Michael, thank you for that tweet, brother. Just popped up here. I don't know what you just said, but it was good. But y'all do me a favor. Don't send me anything right now while I'm trying to preach through this, okay? All right, look. Okay. But you know, our police officers, sometimes they have a thankless job. They should be respected. They should be honored. They are, listen, let me say something about that. They are in their position and given that authority by God. By God. Now, they would tell you the same thing. If there's somebody that's a bad apple out there that's not doing right, that is abusing that authority, then they should be dealt with. But by and large, those are people that should be honored. I'm thankful for our deputies and our sheriff's office personnel that are in our church, and I thank God for them, for the way they put their life on the line for us. Because what does it say? Those, they're governors as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. And so we think about those that are in authority, the governors, like the police officers, like our military. They should be respected. We're so thankful for our veterans, those that have laid their lives on the line. Listen, you think about so many that have been injured, so many that have been killed, and so many that have been injured. They should be honored. They should be respected. I will never forget, as long as I live, when I was a young youth pastor, I was out to dinner with a man who was considering working with young people, and I was at a waffle. No, I was at a, what does it matter where I was? I was at a restaurant, okay? I think it was Famous Amos anyway, but whatever. We were there having lunch, and over on the side there were four military men, and they were dressed in their uniforms, and we had our talk, and we were talking about working with teenagers and everything, and this man, this businessman in that town, stood up and walked over there, and he told the waitress to come in. He said, "I want the ticket of every one of these guys right here." And then he just leaned over and he said, "I just want you to know that I appreciate you putting your life on the line for this country." You see, the scripture says we should honor those that are the governors, those that are in authority, and it uses that word kind of in a broad way. That's very, very important that we do that. Now, we know there are those in authority that are not doing right. As a matter of fact, in the scripture, in the book of Acts, Paul dealt with a man named Felix. Let me read this to you real quickly. This is from Acts chapter 24, verses 24 through 26. It says, "After some days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Now, as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come," listen, "Felix was afraid and answered, 'Go away for now.'" He was telling Paul, "Go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you." And then listen to what it says. "Meanwhile, he also hoped that money would be given him by Paul that he might release him." He was looking for a bribe. There are those in authority looking for bribes. But ladies and gentlemen, let me just say this. The principle is concrete. You cannot escape it. If you are a person who follows the Word of God, we are to submit ourselves as citizens to those that are in authority. That's very important. It says in verse 15, when we do that, you will put to silence, it's the word muzzle. You will muzzle the critics of Christ when you do that. Then it says we should not use our freedom in Christ to hide evil. Verse 16, as free, he's saying, I know you're free, but not using liberty as a cloak for vice. Some people say, oh, I don't need to be under authority. I don't need to do that because I'm a Christian, and therefore, but they want to use that as a way to do evil, to be ugly about it, to be evil. But we are to be bondservants of Christ, it says in verse 16. And then verse 17, it gives that summary. Honor all people. That means respect. Honor everyone. Just remember that in the way we deal with people, your Lord, Jesus, died for that person. And the way you respond to them, and the way you speak to them, is a reflection of what the love of Jesus is towards them. I don't know when it was, but years ago, Kelly started praying, Lord, help us to be an asset to your kingdom, not a liability. Rebecca Pierpert, in her book about evangelism, said that some people don't come to know Jesus because they don't know any Christians. Some people don't come to know Jesus because they do know some Christians. So we're on a journey. We're along the way. How are we to live according to the world, with the world along the way? Well, as citizens, we're to honor those in authority. Now, number two, as workers, verses 18 through 20. The best way to apply this to us is in the employment area. Now, in the time of when this was written, it was written to servants or to slaves. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and the gentle, but also to the harsh. Now, this is interesting. Tom Schreiner, the Greek scholar, says this: these writers did not believe that overhauling social structures would transform culture. Now that's a lot to chew on right there. They did not believe that overhauling social structures would transform culture. Their concern was the relationship of individuals to God, and they focused on the sin and rebellion of individuals against their Creator. Now, it's interesting that slavery in the Bible time was different than what we understand slavery to be. People became slaves by being captured in wars, by being kidnapped or born into a slave household. Those facing economic hardships might choose to sell themselves into slavery in order to survive. Many slaves did live miserably, particularly those who served in mines. But other slaves, however, listen, other slaves served as doctors, teachers, managers, musicians, artisans, and could even own other slaves. It would not be unusual for a slave to be better educated than the master. Now, that's the kind of the world they were in. They were seen, though, as slaves. They were seen as servants. They were seen as property. It's interesting, he says, be submissive. Be submissive to your masters with all fear. Now, folks, let me say this. It makes things a lot easier in our culture right here in America for us if Peter was saying to these people to be submissive in that situation, certainly we can be submissive to those in authority over us. And certainly in our work life, we can be exemplary in the way we do our job. That's the lesson for us. In the way we're in school, we ought to do our very best because it reflects upon the Lord Jesus Christ. So you see that the best example for us is dealing with employees and dealing with being students. And look what the scripture says there, verses 18 through 20. Be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and the gentle, but also to the harsh. Do you have an employer that is harsh? Do you have someone over you that is harsh? Do you have someone in your life that is an authority in your life, and it seems that they're harsh to you. Well, he gives you the answer right here. He says, don't only submit to the one who's good to you, but also to the harsh. For this is commendable if because of conscience towards God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. Verse 20, for what credit is it when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? In other words, you did wrong. You deserve to be chastised. But when you do good and suffer, middle of verse 20, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. Verse 21, for to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps. The last one is this, Christ, our example. Now, if you look at that word example in verse 21, that's the word they used when children were tracing over a sheet to learn how to make letters. In other words, it says, you be an example. You let the ones coming behind you see. They can trace over your life. We just dedicated these sweet children. We've got other young people and children here. Folks, let me tell you something. The way you live, you're like that real thin paper, that trace paper. If they took your life and they lined it up over how to live life and love people and care about people, could these little ones around here just take your life and just trace right over it? That's the word. That's what Christ was for us. It says in that passage, for to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example. We trace over Christ that you should follow in his steps. We should follow in his steps. Who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and the overseer of your souls. Do you know that as a result of those that came to know Christ, the slavery that we see here in this passage of Scripture was eradicated. It happened as a result of the gospel going forward. It happened as a result of the example that those believers had, but it was tough. It was difficult. And so you may be in a tough situation. You've got tough classes. You've got tough employers. You've got tough situations that you're under authority, and yet the way you respond is a witness to the world. So along the way, what is to be our witness? We are to submit. In the days of the Bible, a Roman could come into any town and they could say to a little boy, or they could say to any Jew, pick up this pack, and he by law had to carry it 1 mile. One day a man came into Jerusalem, and as the story is told, and he saw a little boy who was peeking. The boy was peeking because he knew if the man got his attention, he's going to get him to carry his pack because he was traveling. So he peeked around the corner just at the wrong time, and that Roman soldier said, hey, you back behind that column, come here. And the boy came out, and he said, I want you to pick up this pack and walk with me. And so the boy was walking, and boy, he was mad. He was bitter because the Jews were bitter at this law that they had to carry this pack. And so he was carrying it, but then all of a sudden his mind moved to an earlier portion of the day when his father had taken him out to a hillside to hear a Galilean teach. And on the hillside, this man named Jesus had told them about that when you are reviled, you are to give love back. And he even said, if someone asks you to carry the pack 1 mile, take it 2 as an example of your love and what I have done in your life. And so the boy was grumbling, the boy was running, he's walking, and all of a sudden he remembered what his dad had taught him that day and what as his dad took him to hear Jesus. And so all of a sudden he said, you know, I can do this. And so he just started kind of skipping along. And he had that pack on, and he started singing. Every praise is to our God, every word of worship. And finally, that Roman soldier, he'd never had anybody react that way. They were all grumbling. They were all pruned up. They were all mad. And he said to that little boy, he said, I don't understand, why are you singing? He goes, you know, it's that man. What man? Well, it's that man my dad took me to hear, and that man said that we could live at a higher level. That we could experience true freedom. And he said, you know, we could be excited about the assignments we have in life, and so I'm happy to help you. Well, they get 1 mile down the road. He goes, all right, that's far enough. Here's the line. 1 mile is all you have to do. And the little boy looked up at the Roman soldier. He said, hey, could I carry it for you another mile? The Roman soldier said, what are you talking about? He goes, I just would like to do that for you. He said, okay, I guess you can, sure. And so they started going, and he said, that man tell you that? He said, yeah. He goes, what else did that man tell you? Ladies and gentlemen, we're along the way. We're sojourners. We're you know what we are? We're stones in a building. The church. We're priests in a temple, the temple of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are citizens of another land. We're just passing through. Don't let this old world get its hooks in you. So much so that when this old mean world says, carry my pack, that you can't say gladly, every praise is to our God. And then when it says, all right, you've done just the letter of the law, you can say, could I help you some more? Because when we do that, we build a bridge. We build a bridge for the gospel of Jesus Christ to show a lost world there's something different about that man who spoke on the hillside. I had that happen in my life as a young boy. People that did not have to do it came after me. They included me. They loved me. They offered me friendship. They offered me a place to belong. No one would have thought evil of them if they had never said a word to me. But people that were very busy, and they had families of their own. They had businesses to run. They took the time to go after a little kid in a single parent home. After they loved me enough, I finally said, what else did that Jesus say? And they said, you know what, Calvin? Jesus died for you, and he can change you on the inside. I said, sign me up. And Christ can change you that same way. And we can live that way, church. Let's bow our heads in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.